The Christmas story told 740 years before the birth of Christ. Let's talk on Key Light.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Light, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. We're taking these 3 days, Monday and today, Tuesday, and tomorrow on Christmas Day, and breaking from our Old Testament survey to spend some time on some Christmas themes, which are appropriate for this time. This is Christmas Eve, and then tomorrow we're going to spend one more time talking about Christmas. And I'm going to tell you a great story about Christmas tomorrow. And you might want to join us. If you have a break during your day, to just turn up the radio and listen to a story, an allegory, if you will, a myth that tells deep truth about the one who came. You know, some time ago, a friend of mine gave me an article from Working Mother magazine. It was called Barbie and the Three Wise Men. And in this piece, the author, Kim Wiley, told about a beautiful and expensive creche that she had brought to give her children so they could learn some of the value she had received from her parents. After explaining to her kids the significance of the manger scene, she was startled the next morning to see a nude Barbie doll and a headless Ken doll standing in the creche. She reached into the manger scene to take the dolls out, and she heard her little girl's challenge, "But, Mommy, they brought gifts to the baby Jesus, too." So Mrs. Wiley left Barbie and Ken in the creche. Over the next few days, a variety of dolls and cuddly bears and stuffed animals found their place before the manger and the Christ child. Her children had not responded as she had intended, but she admitted they had clearly understood the message of the creche. One of the difficult things for a Christian to do at Christmas is to focus. We know that Christmas is the birthday of the King. But in our day, it's become a whole lot more than that. It has to do with family, with loving, with caring, with joy, with celebration. And I want you to know, God's not against any of those things. And we as Christians shouldn't be either. Some of them are the foundation of the faith. But if we're not careful, sometimes they'll lead us away from the center of Christmas, and that's Jesus. And yet, even when we view Christmas through the lens of our Christian faith, we still often have trouble focusing. Does Christmas really have to do with angels or shepherds? Necessary ingredients to the whole story? What about the manger and the innkeeper? How much of it really reflects the reality of what we celebrate today? As the birth of the King, or we'll celebrate tomorrow. Perhaps in order to focus, we need to get away from the traditional Christmas images for a little bit without abandoning the reality behind those images. Let's try that by taking a forward look from a backward perspective. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah the prophet, by the way, lived 740 years before the birth of Christ, during a time of great upheaval and persecution against the people of God. He was called to speak a word of hope when there wasn't any hope. Isaiah looked forward to a time of genuine assurance and exuberant joy that would accompany what he saw in his mind's eye, the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah 9:6-7, a small section from the book of Isaiah, pinned under the Spirit's guidance, we find a picture of this Messiah, the one who had not yet come. Perhaps taking a look at it will enhance our vision. We who are privileged to look back on the event Isaiah could only hope for and look forward to. So let me read just those two verses. This is the 6th and 7th verse of the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah writes, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do that. Now let me show you some things about what I just read to you. First, I want you to note the gift. It was the gift of the king himself. Himself. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. Whose son? The Son of God, the one who came, suffered, and died for us. In that wonderful gift, we can see a magnificent sacrifice. During World War II, a bereft father lost his son. It was a time of tremendous grief, as you can imagine. The father was comforted by his pastor, but as often happens when someone hurts so deeply, he said some things he didn't mean. His father was angry over what had happened to his son and angry with God that he had let his son die. The nearest person he could find to God was his pastor, so he let him have it. "Where was your God when my son was killed?" he shouted at the pastor. His tear rolled down his cheeks. With understanding and compassion, looking at the man's tears, the pastor said quietly, "In the same place he was when his own son was killed." The father's gift of his son is his way of saying to us that our lives have meaning and he cares deeply about what we're going through. It's not simply about a nice baby in a manger or about shepherds singing in celebration, all of which may give us some good feelings. That's not enough. Our problems are too deep for platitudes and warm fuzzies. If there's a God, he must speak to us in a way that really makes a difference, and he has. He's given us his son, even to the point of leading him to the cross to give his life on our behalf. For unto us a child is born. And secondly, I want you to notice the government of the king, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Verse 6, Jesus didn't come just to help out a few people, to say some nice things about peace and joy and love, to give us a warm feeling in the middle of a cold night. Jesus came to establish a kingdom, an empire, to inaugurate a government, to announce the control of God in the universe. On the night of Lincoln's death, a crowd of 50,000 people gathered in front of the Exchange Building in New York City, and as you can imagine, emotions were running high. People were worried. In fact, there was a good chance that the crowd would become a mob and violence would erupt. Then a man in an officer's uniform stepped out of the building's balcony. His voice, clear and sharp, cut through the babble of the crowd. "Fellow citizens," he shouted, "clouds and darkness are round about him. His pavilion is dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Justice and judgment are the establishment of his throne. Mercy and truth go before his face. Fellow citizens, God reigns, and the government in Washington still lives." Instantly, the crowd was still. Incidentally, that man's name was James A. Garfield, and years later, he became president of the United States, and he, too, was assassinated. In an earlier time of human turmoil, God entered time and space through his son. He stood in the midst of the confused, angry, fearful crowd and announced that the king had come to proclaim the arrival of the kingdom. He said it was a kingdom that would not fail because it had a king nobody elected and nobody would ever depose. For a time, the crowd followed him and praised him, but they later turned on him, killed him. Was the kingdom now dead? Not in the least. Carried on. It spread. It gained more and more support. And one day, this risen king will return to smash his enemies and solidify his rule for all of eternity. Christ is already in Christmas for the citizens of the kingdom, and he will be in everyone's Christmas. But in some quarters, his rule will not be a cause for celebration. And then third, note from Isaiah's perspective the grandeur of the king. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What's in a name? The essence of that which is named. And the essence of the king is strength, benevolence, eternity, joy, wisdom, shalom, peace. Only fools question the existence of the king. The core issue has always been, what is he like, not does he exist. Christmas is when God revealed his very nature, his very essence in his Son, Jesus Christ. How much we misread the God of the universe. Do you ever think that the manger is a hug from a God we thought was a policeman? Did you ever think that the little baby was a soft whisper of a God we didn't want to frighten the people he loved? Did you ever think that the pastoral scene was God appearing in human form so he wouldn't turn away the very people whom he wanted to draw to himself? How great is the grandeur and grace of the king. And then finally, Isaiah also looked forward to the growth of the kingdom. Listen to his words. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I have an announcement to make. Listen up. The kingdom has come, and the kingdom is coming. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. Nobody can cause it not to happen. The kingdom has come, and the kingdom is coming. Two women walked by a department store and saw in the window, a creche with shepherds and angels, Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus. How about that? said one of the ladies. Church is trying to horn in on Christmas, too. Lady, you don't understand. The king owns Christmas. He owns the department store. He owns the church. And even if you don't know it, he owns you. And furthermore, you can't stop it. Christmas is a time when Christians, believers, think about the first time that he came. That was a glorious time. It was the whisper. It was the softness. But he's coming again to set up the kingdom forever. And every knee will bow. You think about that. Amen. Well, tomorrow on Christmas Day, I've got a story for you. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow as we look at the King who has come. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.